It's worth knowing what's really going on. This is the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Welcome to the 9th episode of our new podcast, Go Atlanta, from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I'm the AJC's arts and entertainment editor, Shane Harrison. We're here every Thursday to introduce you to the most interesting people, places, and things to do in and around Atlanta.
I'm food, dining, and living editor, LaGaya Figueres, and this is the season to tell you about the most famous cake from Georgia.
I'm Rodney Ho. I cover entertainment, and I'm pro-canned cranberry sauce.
We'll also give you some ideas for holiday entertaining on this special holiday episode of Go Atlanta. This is the podcast to get you ready for the weekend. Please take a moment to follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you'll never miss an episode. This is Go Atlanta from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's talk turkey and all the other trimmings that come with Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, and Kwanzaa. So I first wanted to ask you both, what is your favorite Thanksgiving comfort food, LaGaya?
So I am wholly in disagreement with Rodney about canned cranberry. My favorite thing is actually a cranberry fig chutney that I make.
It's delish. I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah, I really, really love it. But I do want it with bread. I like scooping it with bread. Huh. Or else it mixes, you know, with the stuffing a little bit.
Right.
You know, stuff sort of just like all mixes together on the plate. I'm all good with that. But cranberry fig chutney is just really good.
That sounds really delicious. I'd never thought about adding figs to it, but
I may have to. You know what? We do have the recipe on AJC.com. I wrote about it a few years ago. I'll share it with you.
Awesome.
It's so easy.
Yeah. So, Rodney, your favorite Thanksgiving comfort
food? Pairs off. I mean, cranberry sauce from Ocean Spray. It's the $1.79 little
wonder.
Wait,
okay.
Wonder.
Do you like the jellied stuff, or do you like the kind
The stuff that just comes out of the can, you know, and it's still ribbed
and
weird.
You have to use a knife to, like, it's molded in there,
yeah,
and then you have to, like, shake it out somehow.
Sure. It's fine.
Just like Spam.
Oh, God.
Exactly. It's the rubbery texture and melts in your mouth, and it's comforting next to the turkey and the stuffing. It just works, so I'm totally fine with it. It's a once a year bit of culinary pleasure for me.
I host most of my adult married life. We have always hosted, and I won't deny people like Rodney their canned things.
Right.
I'm a yes and. So I'll give you your cans, and then I'll make something.
I mean, I don't
else.
Have to demand it. I mean, if you hand me your mix, I'll eat it too. So I'm not that picky. So.
Shane, what's yours? What's yours?
I'm inviting myself over right now.
Come on.
My favorite thing is the stuffing, or as we used to call it, dressing, because it was usually outside the turkey. And, you know, if it's in the turkey, it's stuffing. If it's outside the turkey, it's dressing. And that's always my favorite. And I mean,
Do you prefer it outside? You don't need the turkey juices mixed
up?
No.
I mean, because, you know, you can get the broth. You can make the broth if you want, or you can get it. And I think that's fine. And you're going to mix it with the turkey anyway. It's all going to get there on the plate together. And I think that's fine. And it's interesting, when I was growing up, you know, we had the casserole dish with the dressing in it. And it was much firmer then. And I loved it then. I adore it. And, you know, now when I make it, it's not quite as firm, but I make an apple turkey sausage stuffing.
Oh, that sounds good.
It's yum. Delicious. It's great. Actually, the recipe was originally for a stuffed pumpkin. It's like the stuffing, you would put it in a pumpkin. I just left the pumpkin part out, and now I make this stuffing that used to go in a pumpkin. I believe it was a Tyler Florence recipe, and it's wonderful. It's great. I have to make it every year.
I think some of my favorite, whether you're going to call it, you know, stuffing or dressing, is when you've got to start out with the cornbread. You know, yes. You got to make your cornbread, and then you're taking your cornbread and, you know, incorporating that into, you know, the funniest for me, it's political. For many years, I had to deal with both my mom and my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law will want the rice as part. She has her special Italian way of rice stuffing. Mm-hmm. My mom wants it nothing to do with that. It's got to be the cornbread thing. And like, how can I please these two women? Like, oh my. So we just had to have both. Just keep the peace, man.
So you really are all about yes and.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I do not want to hear.
Which was more popular among the family members ultimately? Which one was emptier at the end of the night?
Oh, that's a good question. No, you know what? I didn't even look. I don't judge. I don't judge. Just give me a glass of freaking wine.
Leftovers are leftovers, yeah.
Yeah.
And no talking politics.
Yeah. That's always a good idea, I think. So, yeah.
That hasn't gotten any easier in the recent years.
So Thanksgiving, you know, enjoy your Thanksgiving Day meal. I know I will be. I actually have people coming over this time. So I'm going to be making a turkey and my dressing and some other things. I'm actually hoping to throw in a curveball. I always try to throw in a curveball.
Yes.
What does that mean
that's
exactly?
That's why I say yes and.
Well, something unexpected.
Yeah, like... something that's not traditionally Thanksgiving. I want to have all the traditional stuff. I have to have, you
and
know, all of that.
And also people expect it. But then you get to do a little bit of like your own thing, right? Just like try something new.
Yeah.
I think you definitely need to stick to the tried and true. Like it's not necessarily the day to experiment with all sorts of new recipes.
No, I
but
did
maybe
that
give
once.
Like mm-hmm. one a go.
Yeah. Yeah, I did that once. That was a very bad idea. It's like I did everything.
You switched everything up.
Yeah, basically.
Boy. And how'd that go?
Not well. It was fine. There was nothing really wrong with it, but it just felt wrong, and it just didn't work. So, you know, since then, I've done all the traditional stuff, but then I throw in something. It's usually something that I've discovered over the course of the year that I've made that was delicious, and I want to share with people.
Did you do last year? Do you remember?
You know, I do not remember
because it wasn't that memorable.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. And this year I want to try, I found this recipe for Ukrainian cabbage rolls.
Nice.
That are absolutely delicious. It's a mix of beef and pork with rice.
That sounds delicious. Absolutely.
And it's really, really good.
Well, I know that people are listening to this on Thanksgiving Day, so maybe it's like too late to decide to do, you know, something that we're giving them. But in last week's food section, we did a centerpiece story on some of the folks who are behind Johns Creek Bakery. It's called Seven Sisters Scones. But they are Lebanese. And so we shared what some of their Thanksgiving traditions are. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be, you know, making a turkey. But for them, some of the classics was to make these special meat pies, stuffed grape leaves, bulgur salad. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's kind of a fun time to also think just a little bit outside the box.
Yeah.
You don't have to necessarily just do all the standards.
Yeah. And that made me think of, there's a great little bakery that you'll often find them at farmers markets around town, Galette. Mm-hmm. And they do a terrific Thanksgiving scone.
Ooh.
It's really good.
So savory scone?
Yeah, it's a savory scone, and it's absolutely delicious.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Yeah, it's like when they have it, I pick it up at the Avondale Farmers Market, and it's absolutely delicious.
I'm definitely going to be making day after leftover Thanksgiving-flavored crepes. Like, that's going to be the filling. I'm definitely doing that. And also, we're going to be having, folks can look at it in the food section, today is Thanksgiving nachos. So you're going to use all your Thanksgiving leftovers to make nachos.
Nice.
Yes.
That sounds interesting. Yeah. My favorite thing to do is just make a sandwich with all of the stuff. You know, basically a Thanksgiving sandwich with
the gravy.
And a little bit of cranberry sauce. And put it all on bread. And it's absolutely delicious.
Perfect.
Well, I'm doing the cheat and visiting a friend who's going to do Murphy's to go. So we're
there's nothing wrong with takeout or anything.
I'm totally fine with that.
I think it's the best food holiday, and the intention is to be around people, find something to be grateful for. You know, don't put too. I think the one thing is that people put too much stock into the day. Yeah. And then there can be like disappointment and stuff. So just chill out, everybody. Enjoy their company. Enjoy some decent food.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you eat too much, take a good nap.
A nap is always good after a big meal like that, for sure. And also, this basically kicks off the holiday season. So I wanted to talk about what your favorite thing to do for the holiday season is.
For the holiday season?
Yeah, like, you know, entertainment-wise or, you know, just at home, whatever. What kind of thing? I mean, like, I'll start out by saying that one thing that we love to do is go to the Atlanta Botanical Garden for their holiday lights.
The light show is great.
Mm-hmm. It's always wonderful, and it's I don't know. It gets you in the mood, even if you, because oftentimes I find I'm so busy or whatever, and I don't feel like it's the holiday season.
Yeah,
and I need something to boost that, to give me the kickstart to get into that. And I think that the Botanical Gardens light show does that.
I really enjoy cooking with what we think of as some holiday ingredients. And so I love it when my kitchen is smelling terrific. You know, there's just like some, baking wise, all of those warm spices, gingerbread type things or cookies or whatever. I have a good time. It gets me in the season. And actually the tradition that I had growing up was we always put our Christmas tree up the day after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And I've tried more or less to continue that tradition, and that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I take my daughter to Stone Mountain Christmas, and you know, the train ride, they add Christmas carols. You sing along to the Christmas carols on the train, which I always find fun.
Oh, that is sounding good.
Yeah.
I have my in-laws in, so maybe we can get on a train and do that.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's like all stuff that will help you get into the spirit of the season, I think. It's because, you know, sometimes I think as kids, it's really easy to get into the spirit because you're excited about Santa coming and all of that and presents. And yeah, but as you get older, it's like life kind of gets in the way of the fun.
That's right. And we try to turn on, you know, Christmassy music.
Yeah. Yep, that helps as well, for sure. Yes. Speaking of the Christmas season, one of the things that is kind of divisive, I believe. people.
You don't believe it. It's true.
It is true. There are people who love it. There are people who hate it, but it's here, and LaGaia is going to talk about
it. Yeah, we're talking about fruitcake, everybody. Okay, so Rodney, what's your take? Thumbs down on fruitcake?
I'm thumbs up slightly. Like, I'll eat a piece once a year. It's fine. It's not something you can't give me a massive log. I'm not going to be able to finish it. I can eat, like, one
got
piece.
Got it. All right, Shane?
I love fruitcake. It's one of my favorite things.
So I have a present for you guys. For those who are listening,
visual props on a podcast are great.
Visual props. I'm giving them something called a Clax Snacks, which comes from Claxton Fruitcake
Company. The perfect size for me.
World famous. And Claxton Fruitcake Company, the bakery is in Claxton, Georgia.
How far is that from Atlanta? Where is that exactly?
Okay, so it is in Middle Georgia. It's not too far away from another food famous city, Vidalia, actually.
Okay. Cool.
But it's really not too far off of I-16, just south of I-16. I don't know, maybe it's like about an hour from Savannah.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Yeah.
So the reason that I visited them, I'm just getting back from a visit that was really fun, is because they consider themselves to be the fruitcake capital of the world.
Do they have competition? I'm sure they do.
Well, I'm going to tell you about that. We're going to get to it. But so they've been around for quite some time. And when I stopped in, I spoke with Dale Parker. And his father, Albert Parker, purchased the business from the original owner back in 1945. But here, let's listen to a snippet about the origins of Claxton Bakery.
The original owner of the bakery was a gentleman by the name of Mr. Savino Toast. He came to the United States around 1907 from Italy, settled in New York City, was a pastry maker by trade, and heard of a job opening at an ice cream plant in Macon, Georgia. So he traveled down to Macon, got a job there. Unfortunately, that business melted on him at the ice cream place. So he had gotten on a train and came through a small town of Claxton, which at the time was just a very small agricultural farming community. And he liked the fact that the town folks were real friendly and that there was no bake shop. So he opened up a small bakery. One of the items that he made that was very popular during the holidays was fruitcake. And my dad went to work for Mr. Toast when my dad was about 11 years old. He came in and worked before school, after school. Those were tough times back then in the late 20s because Depression years. And so my dad wound up purchasing the business in 1945. Mr. Toast was up in years and retired.
Yeah, so isn't it kind of interesting? It's actually an Italian baker, but I love how it was like, well, I don't have my job in Macon melted.
Yeah. it's interesting. I would never have thought it was it somehow had some Italian origin.
And actually, we did have a little bit of discussion about where this recipe comes from, because it's not your typical English recipe. He does think that there is going to be some, that it's, I mean, it's pound cake plus, you know, all of the fruits and nuts. And the fruit and nuts actually are, by weight, comprise 70% of the loaf.
Huh.
So folks who know panettone,
yeah.
Right. But that's a lot lighter, but it's still going to be, you know, studded with fruit and that kind of thing. But anyway, while he doesn't know all of the backstory on the recipe itself, and they still follow it mostly, it does have an Italian influence. But I have to tell you something else. I mean, the whole thing is fascinating. So across the street from the bakery that's on Main Street there, there's a water tower that proclaims Claxton as the fruitcake capital of the world. And Rodney was asking, aren't there other places? Is there competition? So I asked Dale about it, because Claxton is not the only city in the United States to make that claim. So this is what Dale Parker told me.
Both kind of lay that claim to fame. You may be familiar with Collins Street Bakery, and they're located out in Corsicana, Texas. Great family-operated company, and they make a great fruitcake. And they sell most of theirs basically retail mail order. And so I think Corsicana, they say, we're the fruitcake capital of the world. We make that claim too.
So he never got, I'm like, how can you both make the claim? And it turns out they're both family owned. They've both been around for about the same amount of time, like really, you know, well over 100 years. And they're friends. Like, they apparently call each other and bat around ideas and stuff. Yeah. And you guys know Corsicana, Rodney, you would, because of your beat. What else do we know about Corsicana, Texas?
Corsicana.
Home of Navarro College. Cheer. Did you watch Cheer, that whole series, the Cheer thing on Netflix?
Okay. Barely. That's, I didn't.
Okay,
I did not watch
it. Okay, so that's Corsicana too. Anyway, that company's called Collins Street Bakery.
Hmm.
Yeah. So the last thing that we talked about was a lot of prominent people have eaten their fruitcake through the years. And let's listen to what he tells me about some of the most famous people to have bitten into Claxton fruitcake.
When President Carter was in office, we sent a good bit of fruitcake up to the White House. Actually, when Lyndon Johnson was president, one of the assistant directors of the FBI was a gentleman by the name of Carter DeLoach, who was from Claxton. He was assistant director of the FBI. From J. Edgar Hoover, Mr. DeLoach had given Mr. Hoover some fruitcakes, and So he ordered several.
By the way, they have a framed letter from Hoover thanking him for the fruitcake. And also, Dale himself, when he was younger, he even hand gave it to Mickey Mantle.
Oh, wow.
I know. Oh. So fun. But he said that his dad said that all my customers are famous. His dad always kept the peace. So yes. So fruitcake, that we have a pretty big story going into the paper. Folks will be able to see it online now. But if they want to check it out in Sunday's edition, they can read all about Claxton fruitcake.
And since this is a podcast, I want to at least sample this right now.
Please. What do you think?
Excellent. It's really good. Wow.
Yeah.
No, you know, they have so many variations too at this point. They have a chocolate enrobed fruitcake that's really good. They're just little nuggets.
Oh. They're delicious. I just tried one before we started and it is awesome.
Yeah, 1.5 ounces. That's just the right amount.
I know. So this Clack Snack thing, they only started it just a couple years ago, but they're individually packaged. I think they have, 20 of them come in like this little case thing.
Perfect.
So if you're the only one who likes fruitcake in your family, you can just take it out one at a time and enjoy it. So...
And it lasts well into 2023, it says on the back.
Oh, my God. Fruitcake will last forever. It's hard tack.
Yeah, it has a date of May of 2023 on the back of this one. So, you can enjoy it for months to come. And I love on the front, it says, the choice of millions since 1910.
There you go.
So, for fruitcake lovers, it's a great way to go. And for those who hate it, I just don't get that. But, you know, to each their own.
That's right.
This is Go Atlanta from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
We're back on Go Atlanta from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and we're going to talk about some more ways that will help you get through your holiday season, and one of those is a list of cookbooks that you can give as gifts.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we're in the moment where people are like, oh, what am I going to get for so-and-so? We're all maybe thinking about shopping and that kind of stuff. And for people who enjoy home cooking, we've been doing this for a number of years now. But, you know, it's basically a list of some of our favorite cookbooks from the year and the ones that we really think would make terrific gifts. And so Susan Puckett, who is our cookbook reviewer, wrote this one. And we kind of try to chunk it into some themes, right? So there's a section on if you're just, you know, a basic for beginner type thing, maybe you somebody who is now living on their own or whatnot, or just even living on their own after, you know, some time. Crowd pleasers. We've got a bunch on baking. There's always baking stuff. Some new fresh takes on soul food. And then all sorts of, you know, comfort food titles. But these are coming. They're the origins of the cuisine is actually, there's a really cool one from on Italian. There's one that's Puerto Rican diaspora. And I know there's one that's Ukrainian. So, yeah, so folks should be looking for that. That's already online, and it'll be, again, in Sunday's print edition.
Great. And I also want to mention that we'll have other gift guides as well. We have at least 10 of them coming, actually, I think even more than that, over the next few weeks. Among those, we'll talk about the first one, I believe, is for Advent calendars. We'll talk about board games. We'll also have a story on the hottest toys for the season.
Oh, I wonder what the hot toys are. Yeah. Well, Rodney, you've got a young daughter. What's on the list?
Yeah, I don't think she listens to the podcast. Okay. So probably a Nintendo Switch is probably what I'm looking at now, which is the game console.
Mm.
Yeah, a little pricey, but we'll see.
And speaking of pricey, we will also tell you about inexpensive gifts that you can get as well.
Well, we are in a recession, right?
That's right.
Inflation and all.
Right. And just a few days before Christmas, we'll tell you about last-minute gifts you can get so that, you know, those of you who are procrastinating can still manage to get that last-minute gift. And we also wanted to talk about a little bit about holiday entertaining, because you'll have a story on that as well.
Yeah, yeah. Folks should look forward in the next couple editions of the food section. Some of the food and drink recipes that we have coming are geared toward holiday entertaining. One of those stories is going to be surrounding a new cookbook by a fellow named Alex Hitz, H-I-T-Z, and that's called Occasions to Celebrate. And so there's going to be some really fun, you know, small bites, right? And some cocktail recipes. And then the following week, we're going to do some kind of similar, but this time focus on savory baked bites. So think stuff that you can serve as an hors d'oeuvre and stuff like that, but they're all savory. I mean, I think it's fun to be baking in the kitchen during this time of year. And anything that you can make ahead to is terrific.
Yeah.
So those are just a few of them. And of course, I'm talking about, these are food centerpiece stories, but most of our columns are also going to be thinking holiday-wise, and not just for Christmas, but for all of the big holidays, you know, during that fall into this month.
Yep. And we also wanted to mention that there are holiday bars that are popping up around town.
So many. Yeah, there will be a long list. You and I were talking earlier, Shane, that you mentioned SOS Tiki Bar is one of the places you like to go and cater. Right. So that, of course, be on the list. And I mentioned to you Miracle Bar, and that's coming back again, Miracle Bar Atlanta this year. It's been around for a few years. It's been at different locations, but it's back at Tapa Tapa in Midtown Promenade this year. There's the Biltong Bar at the Pond City Market has their Blitzen Room. There's a bunch of spots up in Alpharetta and Avalon, Halcyon. There's a Christmas Carol pop-up at Marietta Restaurant called Hamp and Harry's. So there's quite a long list, and it's going to be throughout the metro area.
When you say a Christmas Carol pop-up, what is that? You have to sing to get your supper or something?
It's offering cocktails and decor that's inspired by Charles Dickens's Christmas Carol.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yes.
Well, we'll have that and lots more in the coming weeks in the living section, in the food section. We'll have holiday things you can do in the Go Guide. Basically, you'll be able to plan and learn ways to enjoy your holiday through the AJC and at AJC.com, as always. And one other thing I wanted to mention that Rodney has been working on. He's going to talk to Phil Rosenthal, who's coming to town, right?
Yeah, he's done. He was the executive producer for Everybody Loves Raymond, but he decided, and he's just a fan of food. He's not like a chef or anything, but he started a show in 2018 on Netflix called Somebody Feed Phil, and he, you know, goes around the world just sampling different foods. And I think he's such an animated lover of food. I mean, you know, whenever he eats something that he really likes, his eyes bug out. It's just hilarious. He's just funny to watch. And I think six seasons in, the show just became kind of a surprise Netflix hit. So he's coming to Atlanta on December 3rd, I guess, to talk about his, you know, his travels and his experience. And, you know, I think he's just such a fun character, which is why hopefully people will show up at Buckhead Theater.
Yeah. Awesome. So you'll be talking to him. We'll have a story about that in advance of Phil Rosenthal's appearance here on December 3rd. And I also wanted to mention some other things. Our recent and future Go Guides, of course, are focusing on planning your holiday entertainment. Last week, we offered a roundup of holiday parades and festivals. And this week, we'll tell you about holiday light shows, which happened all over town. Stone Mountain has it, so many different places where you can go and visit to see the holiday lights in and around Atlanta. Then after that, we'll do some holiday theater offerings. And in the Sunday Living and Arts section on December 4th, we'll bring you a look at holiday concerts that are happening throughout the month. And that same week, we'll also mark Veterans Day with an interview with a guy who was actually nearby at Pearl Harbor. He wasn't there when the bombing happened, but he was nearby and saw the immediate aftermath of the bombing at Pearl Harbor. And there aren't a lot of those World War II veterans still around. So I think it's going to be a really fascinating story. So look for that in the Sunday Living and Arts section on December 4th. And now it's time for our Pet of the Week. Snugs is 1 year old, weighs 46 pounds, and is looking for someone he can snuggle with. Full of puppy energy, he's happy, friendly, excited, and playful. He takes treats gently and has the cutest smile. What's not to love? Meet Snugs and see if this is the pup you can snuggle with today at DeKalb County Animal Services at 3280 Chambly Dunwoody Road in Chambly, or email adoption@DeKalbCountyAnimalServices.com. And you'll find a photo of Snugs and a link to his shelter profile on the story page for this podcast at AJC.com. Thanks for listening to Go Atlanta. We release new episodes every Thursday morning to keep you in the loop of all the great things Atlanta has to offer, whether it involves planning an outing or just giving you something to talk about with friends and family. So be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. For more things to do in and around Atlanta, go to AJC.com. Thanks as always to Rodney Ho.
I still have some fruitcake left to eat.
And to LaGaia Figueres.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
I'm Shane Harrison. Thanks for listening to our brand new podcast, and we'll talk to you again next week for more ways to go Atlanta.
Donald Trump has been indicted in Atlanta.
We have so many court dockets to follow, but we haven't really seen anything yet.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution has covered every moment of this historic case.
I've been writing about this investigation for 2.5 years.
Our team is led by reporters Bill Rankin and Tamar Hallerman. Follow our coverage on AJC.com and listen to new in-depth episodes of the award-winning podcast, Breakdown, The Trump Indictment, only from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
I'm Ernie Suggs, race and culture reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
And I'm Ned Ravone, lifestyle columnist. Atlanta has been known as the Black Mecca for so many years, but that means something different to everybody.
It means everything to me. I've been living here for 24 years, and I am still amazed at how rich the city's Black culture continues to grow. Every day I wake up, I learn something new.
Well, you all can learn something new by subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's new newsletter called Unapologetically ATL. It's all about the people, the events, and the entertainment happening in Metro Atlanta that Black people might want to know about.
Like historically Black colleges and universities.
Atlanta's thriving arts scene.
And the city's growing neighborhoods.
Wherever you live, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what issues are important to you.
So subscribe today at www.ajc.com/unapologeticallyATL.
Only from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.